There's a mashal that is said by the Balei Musar about a man who was once summoned by the Russian authorities to a court hearing. I guess that's where all good stories used to happen in Russia. And this man was a very simple man from the town, and he was completely petrified. He's never been to court before. He never had a run-in with the authorities. And he begins to seek out counsel and advice from all of his close friends. How should I deal with the authorities? What am I supposed to do? And all of his friends direct him to a very well-known, prominent lawyer in the neighborhood who is known to have decades of experience dealing with this relentless Russian authority. And they tell him that you should listen to whatever he advises you to do, and he will be the best one who can counsel you how to navigate this very difficult ordeal that you find yourself in. So he arranges a meeting with this lawyer, and in the very first conversation that they begin to have, the lawyer tells him, by the way, if we'd like to continue this conversation and you want to use me for my services, I have a retainer fee that is an exorbitant amount of money. And it's something that I know you can't afford, but this is what it costs. I'm a professional. I've been doing this for decades. I'm the best one out here in the neighborhood, and that's what it's going to cost. So he was a simple person, but he realized he has no other viable option. What else is he going to do? So he agrees to pay the lawyer this exorbitant amount of money in order that the lawyer should hear the details of the case. And after a few minutes later into the conversation, the lawyer is listening to the story and he says, look, I have an idea. There's no way we're going to be able to win the case. Impossible. There's no argument we can give. But he says, I have a great idea. I think when you're called up to the stand, I think when they start asking you questions and you're going to be interrogated, what you should do is you should jump up and down in your seat, you should start picking up your chair and throwing it across the room, and start barking like a dog. And then, after the judge sees this a few times, every time he asks you a question, this is your response, he's going to very quickly realize that you have a case of pleading insanity. He's going to realize that obviously you are an unstable human being, and this is obviously something that they should just throw out. This is a case that's not worth pursuing. So that was the idea, that was the advice of the lawyer. And the plan worked like a book. They come to the courthouse, the judge starts asking all kinds of questions. Every time he's asked a question, he picks his chair up, he throws it across the room, he jumps up and down, he starts barking like a dog. And the judge says, okay, this, you know, forget about it. This man is out of his mind. He's completely insane. Send him for a psychiatric evaluation. Just throw the case out. It makes no sense. Okay, he got off. The next day, the lawyer comes to his house. He says, you know, we made up. You're going to pay me a certain amount of money. I'm here to collect the money. I got you off the case. And he's concerned. What do? I don't have money to pay him. So what does he do? When the lawyer starts pressuring him, he picks up his chair, throws it across the room, jumps up and down, and starts barking back at the lawyer. And the lawyer realizes, wow, I really did myself in. There's no way I'm going to win. There's no way I'm going to get this money from this man. And he says to him, how dare you? I was the one who taught you this trick. I was the one who taught you to plead insanity. Now you're using that trick against me? That's against the rules. That's not something I allow you to do. So the Balei Musar say that the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us many, many gifts in our own lives. One of those gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is the gift of being able to forget. And the truth is, it really is a tremendous gift. Imagine if you would remember every single time somebody said a hurtful comment to you, and every time you were in pain, and every time you had a surgery, and every time something happened, you would remember the intense pain that you were in, either emotional or physical pain. That would be something that we wouldn't be able to handle in life. It would be something that would make our lives come to a stop. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this gift. And then we decide to use that incredible gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us about to forget him. So the Balei Musar say that's what it means in Parshas Ha'azinu, Vatishkach kel mechaleleka. You made a decision to take that gift of forgetting, which the truth is really is an incredible gift, and you decided that you're going to use it for your own purposes. You're going to use it against the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That's off limits. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I didn't give you the gift for that. We have selective memory, and we have the ability to choose what we want to remember, what we want to focus on, and what perhaps is worth forgetting. We find the same thing the Navi writes by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, if you can say such a thing. It says, Gam Eile Tishkachna Va'anochi Lo Eshkachech. So Chazal say, what does that mean? Gam Eile Tishkachna is a reference to when Klal Yisrael said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. When we pointed to the Egel and we started to serve Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to forget those words. Gam Eile Tishkachna. I'll have selective memory. I'm not going to want to focus on that. I don't want to remember the Jewish people as the people who surround themselves with Avodah Zarah, who are dancing around an idol. That's not the Jewish people that I know. Gam Eile Tishkachna. Va'anochi lo eshkachech. The Navi says, when you said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and everybody responded and you said, Naseh V'nishma, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that moment, which was the pride moment of the Jewish people, That's something that I will never forget. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us, there are things in life that we are meant to overlook, that we are meant to just forget about, and there are other things in life that we are meant to always remember and never allow ourselves to stop thinking about and stop remembering. So obviously today is a day in which many, many communities in the world, they have a commemoration for the 6 million Kedoshim of the Holocaust, of the Shoah. And whether or not you believe that this is a significant day on the calendar is not relevant. Rav Soloveitchik himself was very strong on his opinion that he thought this was not a good idea. But regardless of whether we think it's right or wrong, it would be something that is a very important idea for all Jews to remind themselves, whether it's today or any other day, to remind ourselves there are some things in history that we are bound not to forget. There are certain things in history that we have a right to just overlook and forget about. Gamela tishkachna, but there are other things that are so much a part of what our history is all about that we need to make sure that we are always reminded. And whether you feel that that day is today or not, this certainly is an event in history that is made to be something va'anochi lo eshkachech. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has certain things that he does not overlook, we also need to make sure that there are certain things that we too do not overlook either. So what are we supposed to think about? What exactly should be on our minds? I think there are many different directions you can go, but here are two things that I thought about today. One idea that always comes to my mind, I went to the program last night in Beth Shalom, and I'm always moved when you hear the stories of the survivors, and you hear it firsthand. And I can tell you, for someone of my age, I find it very difficult to relate to it. It's so distant, and it's so unimaginable to think about how many places these people must have ran to. And this woman who spoke last night, 5 years old, she was running away, had no parents, had no siblings, everything was taken away from her. It's an amazing opportunity just to think about the troubles that they went through and the unbelievable instinct of survival that some of these children were able to have. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was testing an entire generation. Obviously, it was a test for those who perished, and it was also a test for those who survived. So it's a time to think about, what does it mean when a person goes through a nisayon? It doesn't have to be a nisayon as extreme as somebody who went through the Holocaust. We all have nisayonos. Everyone has their own tests. So the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem Tzadik Yivchan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses carefully who he's going to test. Not everybody has the opportunity to be tested. And the Pasuk says in Tehillim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the Tzadik to be the one to be tested. So listen to an amazing medrash on that Pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Hayotzer Hazeh, pay attention carefully because these sound very similar, but there's a major difference. Hayotzer Hazeh, this can be compared to a salesman. Eino bode kankanim miru'ayim. When he wants to take his pots and pans that he has just manufactured, and he wants to sell them out to the public. So he's going to stand out in the middle of the street. It was before the days of advertising. So he's going to stand out in the middle of the street with his pot, and he wants to make sure that everybody sees it. So how does he get everyone's attention? He's going to take a spoon and start banging on the pot, and this way everyone's going to notice. They'll come into his store, and they're going to want to buy whatever merchandise he has in the store. So says the Medrash, which pot is he going to choose to bring out into the street to bang against? He's not going to take something that's fragile. He's not going to take something that's a low quality. The first time he takes a spoon to bang on it, it's going to break. So he's obviously going to take something that's the highest quality pot that he has, that he can sit and bang on it all day long, and nothing's going to happen. Says the Medrash, that's what it means, Hashem Tzadik Yivchan. It's the same as that salesman, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the strong pot to bang on. The second shot that the Medrash gives sounds very similar, and let's listen carefully. Hapishtani hazeh. You have a person who deals with wool, who deals with flax. Bishashu yodea shahapishtan shalo yafeh. When he has high quality wool, when he knows that he can sell it for a good price, so he's going to go and he's going to beat it and he's going to comb it and he's going to keep on ripping away at all of the impurities in this wool until he's going to make a perfect product. But if he has a low quality wool, it's not worth his time to go and start beating it and combing it and sifting through whatever is in there. It's so low quality anyway, just leave it the way it is. That's the second shot the Medrash gives of Hashem Tzadik Yivchan. Number three, says the Medrash, Mashallah Balabayis, you have a farmer who owns a field, and he has to work the field, Vahayalo Beis Paros, and he has two cows, two oxen that he knows can do the work for him. Kocho Yafe, one of them is very strong, Va'achas Kocho Ra, and one of them is a very weak cow. So what is he going to do? Which cow should he choose to put the Machareisha on? He needs one of the cows to do the work for him, and it's going to have to hold the heavy load of all the machinery. So which one is he going to choose? Obviously, he's going to take the strong cow. This way, the cow won't collapse while it's doing its work. Says the Medrash, that is the third mashal for Tzadik Hashem Yivchan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses the Tzadik to be the one to be tested. Now it sounds all three of these Mishalim are exactly the same. Basically what we're saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to choose somebody who can handle it. So what do we mean by these three different interpretations that Hashem Tzadik Yivchan? Writes the Netziv an amazing interpretation, and it's so moving. The Netziv explains each one of them is a different perspective on a Baal Yisurim. Many people in life have Yisurim. Different levels, different degrees, but many people go through different challenges. And we never know, as bystanders who watch what's going on, we never know why it is that somebody's being tested. Why it is that somebody is going through this Nisayan. Is it because they're a Rasha? Is it because they're a Tzaddik? Is it because they deserve it? Is it because something else? Writes the Netziv, here are the three perspectives you should have when you see somebody who's going through something difficult in life. Number one, he says, there are some people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I need to show the world how great my people are. And the way I'm going to do that is, I'm going to take the strongest pot into the street. I'm going to take a spoon and bang it against that pot. I'm going to show everybody, no matter how hard I try to break this person, they will not break. No matter how much I try to break their spirit, to break their amunah, to break them down and stop them from doing good in the world, it will never happen. And that is the first mashal, says the Medrash, Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to prove to the world how great the Jewish people actually are, he says, I'm going to take out the strongest machine that I have created. I'm going to take out the strongest, whatever pot I may have made, that's what's going to go out into the street. I couldn't help but watch, I don't know if anybody else watched this Chabad rabbi from San Diego speak the last couple of days. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. And you watch, it's exactly what the Medrash says. The Ribbono Shel Olam needs to test someone. So he decides he's going to take somebody who can be strong and who can say against all that's going on in front of his face. He's looking at evil straight in the eye. He's about to be killed himself. And then he stands up and he says, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make a choice to show the world that I'm strong, that I believe, that I do not have any doubts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is something that I stick to my faith, even with all this anti-Semitism going on, even when I see death in front of my own eyes. Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, that is the way I'm going to show the world what it means to be a Jew. That's mashal number one. Mashal number two, writes the Medrash, you know what it's all about? You have a Pishtani Hazeh. There are different quality of individuals, different quality of people. Some of them are people who are of very high quality to begin with. They've perfected themselves in their entire lives. Everything about their lives was B'nai Aliyah. They wanted to become better and better in different aspects of life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, you're so close to being perfect, why don't I just make you ever so more perfect? And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a little bit more of Yisurim this way. I'm going to comb you out. And all the imperfections, all the impurity that you may have had left, that you didn't take care of on your own, I'm going to take care of for you. Says the Netziv, that is the second mashal, that is the second reference that this Medrash gives us of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses certain people. He chooses them because they are living an elevated lifestyle to begin with. And therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what, I'm going to bring them to the highest level, and that's why he chooses them. And third, writes the Netziv, is a very important lesson, and that is, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs somebody who is going to carry the weight of the generation. There is something that is deserving to a generation. Every so often you have generations of Jews that do things that are not up to par, that are not doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And we're letting the Ribbono Shel Olam down. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have an option. What can I do? I can either put down the punishment on the weakest, and I'm going to have to take thousands of them, and they're just going to collapse and they'll fall apart, and that will be the end of the Jewish community. Or I can take the strongest cow that I have and put all the weight on that person, put all the weight on that cow. And that, writes the Medrash, is the third mashal. Sometimes we need to understand that when somebody takes a blow, when somebody goes through a nisayon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests a person, sometimes the way to reflect on that is to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to put the weight on someone of the generation. And that person is carrying the weight of the entire generation. Perhaps the nisayon should have been something that many other people should have been a part of. Perhaps we should have been guilty. But we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes chooses to let out, not his anger, but to let out whatever needs to be taken care of on he or she who is strongest of the generation, who can actually carry the weight of all of us. So there's an amazing insight of Rav Henkin, and he has a tshuva in which he discusses why it is that we say Kaddish. And I find this to be a very inspirational point. Rav Henkin writes, you'll notice that every time there's a tragedy, the first Jewish response is, we turn around and we say Kaddish. What's that all about? So obviously we want to say a beautiful tefillah, but why is this so relevant? Why is it appropriate to say that in response to a tragedy? Writes Rav Henkin, it's very simple. There are many different ways in which people can respond to things that happen to them in their lives. You look around the world, and sometimes when there's a time of tragedy, when there's something that goes wrong, some communities decide to respond by rioting in the streets, by taking revenge, by promising that they're going to go ahead and do their own mass killings. That's the way that they respond. And we as Jewish people, writes Rav Henkin, choose to respond very differently. What we say in the Kaddish is, Be'alma divira chiruse. We submit ourselves humbly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, as much as we don't understand whatever it is that may have happened, we submit ourselves humbly and we say that the entire world runs by your will. Be'alma, in the world, divira chiruse, that was created according to your wishes, according to your will. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our response to any nisayon, our response to any tragedy that we go through in the world and as a community or as an individual is, Yiskadel v'yiskadei shmei rabah. I will praise the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will hold him up high, and I will submit myself to the reality that this entire world is B'alma divera kiruse. This entire world runs only by the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the way it's always run, that is the way it will continue to run, and that is the way I understand all that goes on, even when life seems to be difficult. That, writes Rav Henkin, is why it is the most appropriate response that the Jewish community always chooses to have whenever there seems to be a time that is a difficult one for our people.